All right, welcome back to First Take. We've got some breaking news. Our own Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting just moments ago that the big three in La La Land is here to stay at least for one more season. Per ESPN sources, Russell Westbrook is planning to exercise his $47.1 million option to return to LA for the 2022-23 season. Freddie, Courtney, what are your thoughts on this one?
Money's money.
Yes.
Can you think about how that contract has been such an albatross two teams later? When it comes to Russell Westbrook, because he got that contract from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And now he's gone to Houston and out of the Los Angeles Lakers, who they wanted his services. Houston thought that was going to be the perfect complement to James Harden. Didn't work out for the 1 year they were together. James Harden's blaming everybody else in Houston, even though he was a part of the problem, them not winning a championship. Then the Lakers, they're thinking of getting somebody who we can never question how hard this guy plays when it comes to Russell Westbrook. But just like I said about Kyrie Irving, ladies, some guys have a strong will and a strong won't. Russell Westbrook's definitely in that category of a strong won't, that if he does not want to do something, he believes that his way of playing basketball is right, he's going to go about it that way. He would serve himself so much better. He would be able to refine his game just a little bit more and play more to his strengths and less to his weaknesses. But he has a Superman theory that he always believes he can overcome because he has a lot of trust in himself. And at times, that is a detriment, not just to him individually, but to the teams he's been on since Oklahoma City collectively.
Russell Westbrook got up this morning, rolled out of bed, decided, this is the right move. I'm going to opt into a $47.1 million play option. It's like Kyrie Irving. He had $36.5 million to opt into his. The Los Angeles Lakers are paying Russell Westbrook $47 million to play from next season. This version of Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So him listening to Beyonce saying that nobody's going to break his soul. I don't know if you guys have seen the video on the SportsCenter Twitter account now.
Yep.
Check it out, because he looks very happy about the financial decision he just made for himself this year.
Mm-hmm.
But can he be used properly? Can he be used to a way to maximize his strengths? And I don't know if we're going to see the triple-double machine that we saw 4, 5, 6 years ago in Russell Westbrook ever again.
Nor should we.
He's at a different point of his career right now. So I think it's okay to evolve into something else. Mm. But you have to lessen the burden on LeBron James at this point of his career. Is Russell Westbrook willing to do that? The guy brought you out to Los Angeles to help him win a title. So that's all, like, relative to what the Lakers' success is going to be this next year. But when we saw this news come through, it's a no-brainer, because where else was he going to go?
Where was he going to go? Like, yeah.
At $47 million.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
no. not at those prices. Not at all.
No, and I think, you know, we talk about the defense first, and how does he adapt and change under new coaching? And what does that look like for Russell?
That's a great point, Victoria, because if you're Darvin Ham, boy, this is a lot you got to manage. But he seems to be the kind of guy that if anybody can get through to a guy like Russell Westbrook, it's going to be Darvin Ham, because he understands the modern NBA player. When you've been a guy that's kind of been that bridge between what LeBron, those guys first came through, and now the guys are, Darvin Ham has been kind of that bridge between a player transitioning to a basketball coach. And to take on this franchise with all that the Lakers have meant in the NBA. Now, if anybody can get through to Russell Westbrook and say, hey, Russell, I know you want to do it this way, but how has that worked for you? You appeal to his nature. You appeal to his vanity to say, it really hasn't worked out for you in terms of numbers, in terms of being effective, in terms of being the kind of player that I know you can be to help this basketball team. If I'm Darvin Ham, that's what I do. I'm not appealing to the team standpoint, because Russell Westbrook has been about team. He always wants team first. Mm-hmm. But you appeal to his vanity and say, the way you've gone about it has not helped you and has not helped the basketball team. Here's how we can go about to make you more effective and make us a better basketball team in a loaded Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, do they still contend? Can they contend if Russell Westbrook can find this other layer of his career that at this stage he has to? He has to adapt. A new head coach, a fresh perspective, all those things can do a world for a player. It's the buy-in element of wanting to, like, change. Like, I don't want to just be the ISO guy. I don't want to just do things my way. I mean, he got a lot of flack last season. And some of it, you know, deservedly so. So will that be enough to alter the way that he does things with a new head coach, realizing that your window is very, very narrow right now? And LeBron James, you know, how many more years are you going to get this version of LeBron without the injuries and all of that to be able to contend? This team didn't make the playoffs last year. That's got to be fire for somebody who is used to being on a competitive team, is used to being a part of that, used to being the spark. Can he be that spark in a different version with the Los Angeles Lakers this year? I hope so. There's 47 million reasons.
I was going to say
47 million reasons. To hope
it's 47 break my soul reasons.
Well, speaking of millions of reasons, we got a $36.5 million reason on the East Coast because without the ability to find a sign-in-trade deal, Kyrie Irving plans to exercise his $36.5 million option with the Brooklyn Nets for next season. And he told the Athletic this on Monday. He has until 5 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday to file the paperwork to opt in. Now, with the Nets as currently constructed, how many teams do you trust more than Brooklyn in the East? Courtney.
I trust three. Okay. I trust the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay. When Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo are together, they are the best duo in the East, bar none. Bar none. And I said that because I'm putting that above KD and Kyrie together. Yep.
Wow.
I am.
Okay.
Beyond that, I'm not going to go ahead and write off the Boston Celtics. They just made it to a six-game finals against the Golden State Warriors. So, Jason Tatum, can you continue to grow within your game? You're 24 years old. What do you look like at 25 years old? What does Jaylen Brown look like? What else does that core around them? Do they upgrade the point guard spot?
They better.
Let's hope. Because they need, like, a traditional point guard. Marcus Smart's great and everything. But, like, that's a no-brainer for me as well. And then the third team, I would say, would be the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler and the culture.
Okay.
I'm sold. Buy me into that.
All right. Okay. Going to Miami.
Right. All 76ers fans, all angry tweets. Never mind. I'm not going to do that.
Don't send Philly people out.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
bad Freddy right there. You're exactly right. I rescind that whole thing from that standpoint.
Don't get too spicy here. Yeah. We still got an hour.
Come on. You know me. I kid because I don't care. You know how that goes from that standpoint. But don't do that to Courtney. But I'm with you with the Miami Heat. And you mentioned Milwaukee Bucks in terms of that duo. And that is something that you automatically get seduced by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving together. Because we've seen what those two have been able to do together when they've actually been able to play in the basketball court at the same time. But in terms of two-way best players, I'm with you in terms of Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo because both of those guys do it at the defensive end. Middleton's an underrated defender.
Sure.
And we're not having this conversation about the Boston Celtics if Chris Middleton is not injured in that series. And I give the Milwaukee Bucks credit. People forget to bring memory to people's memory. They led that series 3-2. But they led that series 3-2, and people wondered about the Boston Celtics. And I give the Celtics credit. They go on the road and then win Game 6, and they were able to outlast Milwaukee in a Game 7. But I believe that Chris Middleton's a part of that series, that Boston doesn't get out of that. They don't survive that second-round series. So your point is valid in terms of a two-way standpoint. Now, offensively, I'm still going to take Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. When you got two of the most gifted scorers the league has ever seen, I'm trusting those guys. But in terms of two-way where they can make a difference at the other end, that's why I trust Milwaukee as well. And with the Miami Heat culture, what they've been able to do with Jimmy Butler, if Miami Heat, it would have been great if Zach LaVine does not sign with the Chicago Bulls. If he goes to Miami, can you imagine that guy that can get you 25 to 26 points per game, healthy after coming back from the knee injury, he's going to be fully healthy. We talk about a guy that has springs. We talk about John Wall earlier. Boy, that guy's bouncy when it comes to Zach LaVine. Now you add him to that culture, the Heat culture, then all of a sudden they reduce that pressure on Jimmy Butler. The Celtics are interesting, and here's why. And you mentioned the point guard position. They got to fortify that bench. Peyton Pritchard got exposed in the NBA Finals. Yeah. At times, and I love Grant Williams, but Grant Williams can't be your best scorer off the bench. Derek White could be a competent backup kind of combo guard, but also he got exposed a little bit when they had to rely on him a little bit more. That's the one thing the Boston Celtics got. I believe Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to be served well from this experience. But at the same time, you can't have them playing 48 minutes like we saw because Ime Udoka had no choice. At least Milwaukee and Brooklyn, if everybody's healthy, a little bit deeper. Miami, a little bit deeper than that team. They got to fix that bench, not just the backup point guard position when it comes to the Boston Celtics.
Well, and let's take a look at the odds in the East and see.
Here we go.
See where they lie. All right, we got the Celtics. All right, we got the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Nets. And Courtney, I mean, well played. Yeah, they got the Heat in there. We got the 76ers. I mean, it's a stacked group. And Freddie, I mean.
Oh yeah. Mama knows in Vegas. It's hard to go against Mama. I have my opinion how I feel, but Mama knows in Vegas from that standpoint, and Vegas understands, and I've always said for the longest time, the next time NCAA tournament has a competition committee for the tournament, let Vegas do it. Let them seed the teams because they know what they're doing from that standpoint. Yeah. And so they look at the Celtics at a plus 280, mainly because the Celtics window is still a little bit more wide open than those other teams because of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And they're trusting that Brad Stevens as a GM will find the right kind of pieces in the offseason. Now, we'll see. But they also had the Brooklyn Nets last year to win the Eastern Conference. And that didn't end well for the Brooklyn Nets.
No.
So Vegas gets it right, but sometimes Vegas can get it wrong.
Philadelphia's on that list, too. I know that, like, apparently I'm the Philly hater in the room, but...
Wait a minute. I said don't come after you that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, they start adding some more two-way players. Like, they, I would yeah. put them further down on my odds list, but I'm not Vegas, so
no.
I'm not making people money today.
No, we're definitely not Vegas, and we do have to go and take a break. Yeah.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to First Take. Tyrann Mathieu's comments regarding Ja'Marr Chase on a video shared by NFL Films' Twitter account are making headlines. Mathieu said, quote, "I hate to compare people, but he's like Odell Beckham 2.0. He also said, when asked about playing Week 17, quote, "it was embarrassing." Chase had 266 yards and 3 touchdowns on 11 catches against the Kansas City Chiefs. And quote, "it was tiger on tiger crime. That's how I like to describe it," Mathieu said. Shots fired. We've got Sam Acho back with us. Sam, who is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now? And your thoughts on these very eclectic comments.
Well, I actually agree with Tyrann Mathieu. I think that right now at this point and moving forward, it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. And here's why. Two pieces. Number one, I played with Tyrann Mathieu in Arizona. When he was a rookie, I was going into my third year. I've been around Ty a lot. He does not like to compare people. He's very much, I've been in conversations, he's like, well, you know, each person's their own man, their own person, let them do their own thing. So for Tyrann Mathieu to make this comparison, it's huge. But what's even huger, or what's even bigger, is the actual game tape. 11 for 266 on the Kansas City Chiefs. He was dominant. He was unstoppable from the beginning of that game to the end of it. That first catch that you saw when Tyrann Mathieu was talking, he went for 80 yards on a quick hitch. The second one you're seeing was in the fourth quarter, when the game's on the line. Kansas City is trying to protect the victory, and they could not stop Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one. He had 81 catches last year, still had 1,455 yards. All the other receivers that went for 1,900 yards, like Cooper Kupp, or 1,600, like Justin Jefferson, they had way more targets and way more receptions. Ja'Marr Chase did what he did with less targets, less receptions, and also he has consistency. That's why I said moving forward this year, next year, moving forward, consistency at quarterback. The other quarterbacks that we could talk about being great, you could talk about Devontae Adams. Well, he's got a new quarterback this year. Debo Samuel, right? Is he a receiver? Is he not? What do you call him? And even going to Tyreek Hill, another new quarterback situation. And so for me, the answer is Ja'Marr Chase based off the consistency and also based off what he did with not necessarily a limited sample size, but limited amount of targets.
I promise there's no Minnesota Vikings home cooking. I know that I used to cover them for ESPN.com, but
good
my
disclaimer.
Answer is Justin Jefferson. And if you're a Vikings fan, if you're somebody who follows the NFC North, you heard his comments on NFL Network last week about how they're not a run-first offense anymore. This is somebody who was targeted 167 times in a run-first offense last year and still generated, like Sam was saying, 1,600 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. There's so much to love about his game, and it's hard because you look at this receiver group in the NFL right now, and you know you can interchange. These guys are all interchangeable at the top: Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp. I mean, the list goes on and on. But something I really like about Justin Jefferson is that at every turn he's defied all of the shortcomings, alleged shortcomings of his game. You know, slot player only, not slot player. You can move him everywhere around the field. He apparently wasn't great against press man coverage in college football. Well, that wasn't an issue for him when he got to the NFL. There's so much to like about Justin Jefferson, the duo that he is a part of with Adam Thielen as well. And, you know, the old cliche of there's only one football to go around. Think about how many playmakers the Minnesota Vikings have. I mean, it's really going to be a test this year to see, okay, who can step up, who has the best chance of having a season like a Justin Jefferson. I feel like he's at the top of the list there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that team is really talented at the skill position.
It is the ultimate splitting hairs conversation because I'm going to take Cooper Kupp, but the way you, Sam, you describe your guy, according to the way you describe your guy, you can interchange that with these three wide receivers. And the one thing they all have in common, they're outstanding route runners.
Yeah.
There isn't a passing tree that you can throw a route at them that they can't run. I go back to the route that Cooper Kupp ran in that NFC playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because I know the safety bit down. He should have been biting down. But Cooper Kupp had the ability and the speed and the route to get behind that safety, make that catch and strike. Matthew Stafford hits right between the numbers. They get the game-winning field goal. They don't blow that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. These guys are clutch receivers. I'll take Cooper Kupp mainly because I think right now, and it's finite, that I think he's better than Justin Jefferson, than Ja'Marr Chase. Think about the guys we didn't mention. Devontae Adams that didn't make our list. Tyreek Hill, like Sam Acho mentioned, but playing with a new quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami. Devontae Adams getting that reunited situation when it comes to Derek Carr with the Las Vegas Raiders. But anytime I've seen Cooper Kupp keep getting exponentially better, in his last 3 years, he has 331 catches, 4,082 yards, and 29 touchdowns. He's not just a singles hitter, but he's also really good like Ja'Marr Chase and also Justin Jefferson, what I call the long shorties, where they get a short pass and take it long. All three are really, really good at that, where you mentioned, Sam, Ja'Marr Chase can get that in route 5 yards, boom, 80 yards in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp is showing the ability that he can do that. Justin Jefferson is showing the ability that he can do that. So all three of these guys make their quarterbacks better. And especially when you know you can get the ball to that guy and everybody knows that that guy's having the ball come to him and they make that catch anyway, mm-hmm. That's why I say splitting hairs. I'll take Cooper Kupp, but I would not have had a problem taking either Justin Jefferson or even Ja'Marr Chase right now, best wide receiver in the league.
Let's just use our imagination, Freddie, because I'm with you. Cooper Kupp, like I could rock with that, right? Courtney, I could rock with Justin Jefferson. But let's just use our imagination, right? Let's go on a journey. Ja'Marr Chase, 81 receptions, averaging 18 yards per catch. 81 receptions. Cooper Kupp, 145 receptions. Mind you, Ja'Marr Chase, 1,455 receiving yards. Cooper Kupp was a little over 1,900. Imagine, just imagine, right? My parents are Nigerian. Imagine if Ja'Marr Chase would have had the number of receptions that Cooper Kupp had, the number of targets that Cooper Kupp had, the number of receptions or targets that Justin Jefferson had. We all know Cincinnati Bengals, they love to spread the ball around, right? Uzama, who's not on the team anymore, he would get targets at tight end. You saw so many different people get targets in that offense. Ja'Marr Chase only had 81. And so think about this, 81 receptions. Imagine if you give him 145 with 18 yards per catch. What is he doing on those hitch and goes? What is he doing on a 5-yard slant? What's he doing on a 10-yard out? Imagine if he got all those targets. That's why, yes, I say it's splitting hairs, but the hairs have already been split. And we've seen that if we give Cooper Kupp his receptions, he's going to go win a triple crown. I get it. He did it. Now, I can't even disagree with that. But give Ja'Marr Chase those receptions. Give Ja'Marr Chase those opportunities. Give him all those targets that Justin Jefferson's getting. We might be having a different conversation.
You're right, but I'm a big believer, and my wife Denise hates when I say this. I fear the known and leave the unknown alone. So I understand the journey you're trying to take us down. It's a very valid journey. And you're right. Ja'Marr Chase is going to get more touches. I'm not Nigerian like you. I'm just a proud black man from Brooklyn, New York. But in the Coleman household, we say this. Don't worry about what hasn't happened. Worry about what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that always works in the Coleman household. And believe me, I'll say this, Sam, Ja'Marr Chase is going to have 100 plus catches this year. He is too good to not get him the football more. He's going to be in Courtney's conversation with Justin Jefferson. Don't think for 1 second all three of these guys won't have at least 100 catches. And Cooper Kupp's not getting $145. That's one of those outlier seasons. But all three of these guys, they're going to get more touches. They're going to get more opportunities, especially because of Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. And I can't wait to see exactly what those numbers could potentially look like involving all three of those guys.
But Courtney, I have a question for you because I'm with you on the Justin Jefferson conversation, right? He's outstanding. But my question for you is, who would you rather have at quarterback? Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins, right? Because I the reason why I put Jamar Chase a little bit ahead is because I get excited about Joe Burrow. Yes, Kirk Cousins is outstanding. And those, you could also say that those are not too far apart. But I get really excited about the future. But Courtney, what would you say? What say
well,
you?
I would say Joe Burrow. I think the athleticism, there's so few scheme transcendent quarterbacks in the NFL, right? And Kirk Cousins just does not fall into that category. In the right system, absolutely, you can get two 1,000-yard seasons out of a Justin Jefferson, out of an Adam Thielen. You know, he's coming off injury from this past season. He's on the other side of 30, but he still has a lot of really good football left in him. And Kirk Cousins can distribute the ball, can get both of those two the ball, and he's in a brand-new offense that's going to play to his strengths in ways that other schemes in Minnesota did not. It is, you know, bring it full circle. Justin Jefferson calling this no longer a run-first offense. Yes, you're saying that about a team that has Dalvin Cook in it too, which is crazy. But you know, Joe Burrow to me, in some of the playmaking ability that we saw from him last season, you know, it's a different echelon of the NFL. So yeah, Sam, I would go with Joe Burrow over Kirk Cousins in that category.
And Sam, you mentioned we have to kind of go on a bit of a journey, so we have to take a journey to a break.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time for a quick take. After agreeing to a buyout with the Houston Rockets, guard John Wall plans to sign a free agent deal with the LA Clippers, sources told ESPN on Monday. Wall, who was due $47.4 million from the Rockets after exercising the player option for the final year of his contract, agreed to take $6.5 million less to become a free agent, a source told ESPN. Now, Courtney, what is your reaction to this?
Well, it's been a while since we've seen John Wall on the basketball court because of injuries, but I think if he's going in there to compete with Reggie Jackson for the starting point guard spot, that's a big, that, you know, in creating for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that could potentially really up what that position has. That position has averaged 3.9 assists per game since those two linked forces. John Wall over the last five seasons, 15.5 assists. So big upgrade there.
All right, now Bradley Beal shared the backcourt with John Wall for years in Washington, and Beal is expected to opt out of his current contract with the Washington Wizards this summer and re-sign with the team for a five-year Supermax contract that is worth about $248 million, sources tell ESPN. Amongst other all-stars looking for a possible max contract extension are Zach LaVine and James Harden. Now, Freddie, who is the most deserving of a max deal, Beal, LaVine, or Harden?
I love we play like money with millionaire dollars when it comes to this, like who's deserving of a max deal, because I've always been a big believer if somebody is going to give you a max deal, it's not about deserving, it's about what you can make work for you, what the market's going to bear. But I'm going to say Zach LaVine, and here's why. And that's not to say that Bradley Beal doesn't deserve a max deal. I love watching Bradley Beal's game. I think he's tremendous. But the Bulls have something really potentially special going on here with this basketball team, where you got a Zach LaVine that if he signs the max deal, and it seems like the team leaves are telling us he's going to do it at the Chicago Bulls. Now you got him, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, Ayodusumo, who was really good in his rookie season. They drafted Dalen Terry, out of Arizona, who can be a combo guard in that backcourt. You don't know what's going to happen with Lonzo Ball, but now you got enough resources that you can fortify that. In an Eastern Conference that keeps getting better and better, a guy like him that can guard three different positions in the league and can do that and play to that ability, and they also score from the three-point line, shooting close to 39%, so he's not just a guy that can get to the rim. You put him with that team with a max contract, and coming back from that knee injury, he's going to be fully healthy. That's why I think he's deserving most of the max deal, because his team's in a better position to do some things compared to the Washington Wizards, where Bradley Beal has Kristaps Porzingis, Rui Hachimura, and hoping that Corey Kispert can be better shooting the basketball after his rookie season last year. I think that's why Zach LaVine deserves a max deal. His team's in a better position to do some things. Washington could still be a couple of years away, before realizing that with Bradley Beal getting that extension from that basketball team.
The Bulls have no other choice but to give Zach LaVine the max. And I know the knee injury, and I mean, this is a playoff team. They made the playoffs. They may have lost to Milwaukee, and that was, you know, a blip on the radar. But they can be a very good team if Zach LaVine can stay healthy. Is he deserving of the max? Yes. Was he going to get it from the Bulls? Was he not going to get it? Was he going to get it somewhere else if he didn't get it from the Bulls? Absolutely. But there's really been no buzz about that. So I fully intend that they will give him the max in Chicago. I get frustrated with the Washington Wizards and with Bradley Beal in this situation because they need to pick a lane.
Okay.
Are you going to build around Bradley Beal? You give him the max. First off, no other team can give him that extra year in 248. So from a money perspective, it makes complete sense why he's going to opt out in order to get the max extension from the Washington Wizards. But, like, what are you? Like, that they straddle this weird line in Washington in the Eastern Conference where, to your point, I agree. They're way down my list of teams that can actually contend in the East. But you give him the max, you actually commit to building around Bradley Beal from here on out. You don't do this thing where it's like trying to get lottery players in the draft and then trying to lure free agents to come play with Bradley Beal. You can't play both sides of the fence here. So go ahead, pick a direction for once. If you're the Washington Wizards, you build around Beal, who I know a lot of people look at this team as a conference finals team. He's probably not a number one option on that team. Go ahead and get him some help. Go ahead in, like we were talking about, in other circumstances, get somebody who can help what he's doing on the offensive end where it doesn't feel like it's this disjointed mismatch on the roster. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that I have with the Washington Wizards. Is Bradley Beal deserving of the max? Yeah, but it's going to be all the chips now get pushed to the center of the table for this front office to make the right decisions around Brad Beal and what he can bring this team because they still are a ways away. How many more years are we going to be talking about this? Is Brad Beal comfortable just like being? I mean, he's revered in that town and for that team. He's loyal. He's done a ton of stuff in the community. He's the right guy to give that deal to.
Sure.
But like, let's realize his career as it's happening and not look back and be like, man, I wish they would have done this stuff differently. I mean, he's become a more dominant on-ball player since John Wall left. His three-point shooting leaves a lot to be desired. So like, what can you do to help him? Once you give him the max, like, because you're going to invest that much money, Freddie, in Brad Beal, you might as well, like, see your investment through so you can have some return on your investment by the other pieces that are around him.
Because if you're in the middle, you're nowhere. And you can't be.
And that's
in
where
the
they've
middle.
Been. They, when is the last time this team won 50 games?
It's been the best moment we've seen from the Washington Wizards was when they took the Boston Celtics to a 7-game series and lost that game 7 when John Wall and Bradley Beal were doing their thing together. And they haven't been that organization since. And yeah, you cannot anticipate that John Wall had that knee injury that would completely sideline him. And when you think about it, derail his career in terms of being that top flight point guard that he was. If he wasn't there, he was pretty darn close to being there. And Bradley Beal has developed into a number one option, not because he's the last guy left, but because he can score the basketball. We seem to be able to do that. But is he enough of a number one option where he can get you through a playoff series if you put pieces around him? Washington seems to be a very tough sell for free agents, where you have to hope that a Kyle Kuzma can be above what you traded for. Kristaps Porzingis washed out the Dallas Mavericks because he and Luka Doncic didn't get along. You hoping that Hachimura, is going to raise his level, but that's asking a lot for a guy that's right below that lottery, right in that lottery area, but not a top five, top three pick. So if you're the Washington Wizards, what can you sell other than Bradley Beal that's going to entice a free agent, or you got to build through the draft and you got to draft correctly? And the draft has proven to be, especially for them, an inexact science, trying to find the right pieces. So that's the dilemma with me. Why? That's not that he doesn't deserve a max deal. If anything, he probably deserves more than a max deal having to put up with that. But Bradley Beal has a chance to go somewhere else, and he doesn't want to do it. Because Bradley Beal and Jimmy Butler in Miami would be perfect. Bradley Beal in Chicago, Zach LaVine left, would be perfect. Bradley Beal, the Boston Celtics, would be perfect. Because now you got a guy to go with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, where you got three scores you got to defend with. But he wants to stay in Washington, then he better do a better job of selling himself in this organization. And if he can't do it, the money looks good the 1st and 15th of the month. There's no doubt about that. But then at the end of the year, you're seeing other guys playing in games that you believe you should play in. in because you can't sell yourself or sell the organization, have people join with you, or the organization has not been good enough with draft picks to put those kind of quality pieces around you.
You know what's funny about that? All those years that Brad Beal and John Wall were together in Washington, you know the one player that they tried and wanted so badly to come and be part of what they're doing?
Absolutely.
Paul George.
Paul George.
Now with Paul George?
Yeah.
John Wall. So, I mean, John Wall got what he wanted, and I'm excited to see what that looks like. I don't want Brad Beal to be the odd man out because there's talent that's unassumed, and there's so much that they can that there's left to be tapped into. If you're the Washington Wizards, pick a lane. Pick a lane. Give him the max and then build around him.
Yeah. Speaking of picking a lane, we got to take it to break.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Kyrie Irving is opting into his $36.5 million option with the Brooklyn Nets for the next season, and he told The Athletic on Monday, but Durant, Kyrie's teammate, chose to take a backseat while letting the Nets organization and Kyrie hash out their differences. Stephen A. reacted to the Kyrie news earlier this hour. Take a listen.
Did you see it? I saw the news. I know you saw the news. Oh, Kyrie Irving, you opted in after all. Took that money, didn't you? One-year deal, y'all. 1 year, $36.9 million, exercises his player option. So what does that mean? To y'all, it means Kyrie's going to be a Brooklyn Net. You know what it means to me? I guess he's a peon too, huh? So you got to go to work. You got to show up to work. You actually got to go to work. You got to go up there and earn that money. You got to show up to work. Because even if you plan on leaving the Brooklyn Nets, because we all know that Kyrie doesn't plan on staying in Brooklyn for the full year, he's offended, he's appalled, he's put back by the fact that the Brooklyn Nets actually said you have to show up to earn your money. We know that offends him. We know that offends him. So you're thinking, hey, guess what? I'm going to get the hell up out of here. Philly somewhere, they willing to give me a 3-year guaranteed deal. The Clippers could get their hands on me. They want me. Maybe I could get to the Los Angeles Clippers. Who knows? Maybe somehow, some way, the Los Angeles Lakers will be able to work out a sign and trade. Guess what, Kyrie? No matter what options you may think you have down the road, it all starts with you having to show up to work first. You show up to work, then you got a future where you're going to make your money. You don't show up to work, you're stuck. Because even if somebody wants you, they're still going to require that you show up to work, which means those long-term commitments, that guaranteed 4 years over $200 million that was waiting for you, ain't going to work that way. According to Kyrie, anybody in that position pretty much is a peon. Funny how karma works, doesn't it? Guess he's a peon too, just like the rest of us. See you in Brooklyn.
Ooh, Stephen A. dropping the mic. Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say for everyone watching, you got to show to work to get paid. Now, what is your reaction to Stephen A.'s very eclectic thoughts about this that we're all just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is only kicking the can down the road. Like, this is not, like to his point, this is not a done deal. Kyrie Irving might be looking to get out. Brooklyn might be looking to move Kyrie Irving at some point. Like, this doesn't mean he's there forever. But, you know, to his point, if he's got to show up now and do what he needs to do to earn that max deal, he could have done it this past year had the circumstances been different and he'd chosen to actually be part of the games and do what he needed to do to be part of those games at home and, you know, throughout the rest of the NBA with the vaccine mandate. Now it's delaying it even further for him. So he kind of has to, like, you know, let's say, tuck his tail between his legs and walk back. But that's exactly what this was. But like all those other teams that we had mentioned on the list, like if he's so great about like when Stephen A was talking about, oh, like I might want to go here, I might want to go there, wouldn't they have come and gotten you when you're cheaper
at
right
this
now?
Point? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like wouldn't that have happened? So like maybe there aren't all these teams that want him out there.
Yeah.
Saying.
When does the backyard barbecue happen with Stephen A. Smith and Kyrie Irving? Because that would be must-see TV.
Yeah.
You got food, you got two guys that don't like each other, although Stephen A. Smith has said, I just keep it real with him, and Kyrie Irving's clapped back at him or through other people. Here's the deal with what Stephen A. Smith had to say, and it is 100% correct in terms of you're going to get paid $36.9 million by opting in. You can't use the whole thing, I'm not feeling it. You can't all of a sudden say for a week, I need time away. The Brooklyn Nets going to be like, really? Come on now. You opted in for this money. You got to show up and earn your money. You can't allow yourself to put yourself in place of the basketball team, in place of the organization anymore. Mm-hmm. And whether he wants to believe it or not, when it comes to Kyrie Irving, he got a full glimpse of his potential future, according to your point, that if teams really wanted you, they would say, you come here and sign for a $6.4 million exemption, and then we're going to take care of you after that because we trust you're going to go out there and ball. He wasn't willing to do that. In other words, Kyrie Irving bet on himself for $36.5 million, because that was the easy play and the right play, in my opinion.
Sure.
He didn't trust himself enough to say, I'll leave this organization. The only person I feel loyal to that's been loyal to me has been Kevin Durant. We're always going to be boys. But this Brooklyn Nets organization laid the gauntlet down to Kyrie Irving, saying we're not going to put up with this in 2022 and 2023. And he probably thought other teams would. And other teams let him know, yeah, we'll do that, but for $6.4 million. Not $36.5 million. And like I said before, Kyrie Irving is not dumb. He may do some dumb things and say some dumb things, but he's not dumb. He was smart to realize, man, I better play this the right way and then figure out things later on. So, yeah, you're going to get $36.5 million, Kyrie. You can't just all of a sudden play 25, 30 games and not be injured because you don't want to play. That is not going to fly.
Last year's career low of 29 games in a season, of course teams are probably going to be a bit more like, well.
They should.
Not worth that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter how great you are, the only way you could get away with that, you have to literally average 100 points a game.
Yeah.
And that's the point, okay, we'll take for 25. Yeah. We know we got 25 wins because you're averaging 100 points a game. And since that's not happening, and since we all live on planet Earth, whether Kyrie doesn't live here or not, teams let them know right away. You can put those feelers out there. We're not feeling you to that point, what you want to have happen.
You need to show more to get paid more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, do you have any more thoughts on that?
I think for Kevin Durant and what he's probably feeling right now is relief. But he knows, like Stephen A. was alluding to, this is not over just yet. It's solved for now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what happens?
How many times have we heard those words?
What happens when Kyrie Irving decides, I'm not feeling this today? This week, I'm not feeling this. And Kevin Durant is left to shoulder the load once again. Is that going to be the point that fractures that relationship beyond repair? Because for a long time, Kevin Durant has been a good soldier. He has always touted Kyrie Irving the same, saying that he was going to stay out of this, that he wasn't going to get between the player and the organization. As of right now, he has no right to feel any type of way about what Kyrie Irving just did in opting in, other than I'm set for the summer. I don't have to start worrying about my next destination or trying to figure out Damian Lillard, like your Photoshop skills are great. I'm going to come join you in Portland. But the second this thing starts going sideways like it did last season, I will be very curious to see how Kevin Durant handles that because he put up with it once.
Yeah.
Fool me once. Yeah. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Yeah. So,
I'm here for you.
Thank you.
We got this. We got this.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, welcome back to First Take. Major League Baseball suspended 12 players and coaches Monday night following the benches clearing brawl that occurred in the second inning of Sunday's Mariners-Angels game. Angels interim manager Phil Nevin was handed a 10-game suspension, the largest suspension of all the players and coaches involved. Now, this was a spectacle. None of us can't unsee what we saw, but do you agree with the suspensions handed out in the baseball brawl?
As far as I'm concerned, the one suspension that got me was the interpreter, Manny Del Campo of the Angels. He got 2 games. I mean, toughest interpreter ever.
Yes,
getting two
yes.
games of a suspension. Mm-hmm. If you're Major League Baseball, you can't allow these things to happen. And this is what happens. You have teams in the same division playing 8 times in 11 days. And even Phil Nevin said that we were going to do this. He put it out that by saying, we're going to get Frontier Justice on Sunday.
And that's so dumb.
It really is.
That's so dumb.
If you're going to have a plan, don't give it away to the enemy from that standpoint.
Maybe this will teach people and teach managers, teach baseball players, teach pitchers, stop throwing at each other. Like, I don't buy the excuse he said of like, well, we played all these games in this short period of time.
Yeah.
Control yourselves. This happens way too often in baseball. And, of course, we're all laughing about the sunflower seeds that were like launched onto the field.
But like, that's just
this is an Angels team now that's left shorthanded. Mm-hmm. 5 coaches and 4 players.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be, this is not some Joe Maddon gimmick that like Phil Nevin's trying to inject into a team that needs a little bit of a fire lit under them. This is an interim manager who, as Freddie pointed out, gave away the strategy, said they were planning to do this. I just, clearly it's not working.
No, it's not.
Like, unless they go on an absolute tear here, but even then, this sort of strategy is dumb.
Yeah.
I can't stand this. Always happens in baseball, Victoria, and it drives me absolutely insane. So hopefully the consequences now that the Angels and the Mariners, but really the Angels, because of, you know, initiating this thing, even though they're going to say, well, it started a week ago with, you know, Seattle and getting thrown in the head,
There's no excuse for it.
It's just, it's lame.
It doesn't like,
find another way to, like, light a fire under your team to be competitive.
Yeah, usually bad teams do this.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen bad teams trying to make their imprint?
A bad team that has Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, even though, Mike Trout's injured. I understand that. That's lame.
It's lame, but that's what bad teams do. That's what organizations who try to matter do. They try to get your attention. I liken it to, let's say, a mid-major program playing a top-flight college basketball program, and the coach loses his mind because he wants his team to believe they can't compete.
Mm.
This was Phil Nevin's way, in my opinion, to say, hey, we're not going to take this fooling around anymore. If you want to do that to the Seattle Mariners, who's a baseball team, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
You know how you do that? You go out there and you find a way to beat that baseball team. But this whole thing back and forth and Phil Nevin, who's going to learn, you hope, from this experience being a first-time manager for the Angels. But that's what bad baseball teams do. They make bad decisions thinking that they have to right the wrongs that happened to their baseball team.
Well, and you're also putting players and different personnel at risk for injuries.
Yeah.
You're trying to win a championship here, going out and fighting. This isn't hockey.
Yeah. Well, the interpreter got the message. He got 2 games for the suspension, from that standpoint. But be better than that, or at least try to be better than that.
Be
but when you're a bad organization, these things happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the note for First Take. Let's be better. Freddie, Courtney, Victoria.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.